Hello and welcome once again to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Delighted to say, as usual, we have our very own Simon Ferry with
pleasure,
us today.
Pleasure as always.
Looking smart, Simon, looking smart. Don't see any Peterhead gear this week.
No, no Peterhead, mate.
No getting the night then, no.
No, no getting the night. Saturday's the title decider, mate. It's a big one. Montrose won again Saturday. We thought Steny would beat them, but...
It's still there, Steny it's in the balance.
Steny can go and get the fuck.
Right, well, just watch your language. beside Simon, now, for the past few weeks, we've had some fantastic footballers on, ex-players, current players, and we decided to mix it up. We thought, we're going to break into the world of journalism and broadcasting. We're going to go and get the top man, but our wee pal Chick Young's not available. So, we've got the award-winning journalist, author, broadcaster, television, you name it, Hugh McDonald is with us today. How are you, Hugh?
Great, and the only reason you've got me is today is the only day I've not got my pension day. I've got the afternoon free, so I'll come along here and get a wee heat.
What award did you win there? I caught that there. Several. Is there several?
Dud of the year, usually. bad sex award of the year. I've won that a couple of years.
Between me and you, we're
veering off. We're off into dangerous territory here. Right, talking about awards, let's get to it. It is that time of the year. It's the business end of the season. Still a lot to be decided this time of the season. Mm-hmm. Peterhead from top to bottom in most of the divisions. But it's that time. It's a great debate. It just throws up. It's going round the pubs all over the country just now. Manager of the year, mm-hmm. player of the year. We'll start off with our open goal team of the year. Right. Huey, just I tell you what we'll do. We'll just go 1 to 11 right away. We'll rattle it, Simon. Okay. I'll do it. And then we'll see what crosses over, what ones tick together.
I'm playing a 4-4-2.
Old school, isn't it?
Old school. In fact,
very rigid, that team.
Actually, it was only a step forward for me because I was going to go 4-2-4 at one point.
I'm happy, 4-4-2.
So in goal, Carson and Motherwell. Back four, O'Donnell, Kilmarnock, Hanlon Hibbs, Bear of Hearts, Tierney Celtic. Middle four, Candeias Rangers, Brown Celtic, McGinn Hibbs, McGregor Celtic. Up front, Dembele Celtic, Boyd Kilmarnock.
Okay, we're happy with that.
No, by team, you want to go next?
You want me to go next.
Okay, I've went in goals, Jamie McDonald.
Okay.
Left back, Tierney of Celtic, Hanlon of Hibs, McKenna of Aberdeen, Tate of Motherwell.
At right back.
Yeah. I've went midfield three, a dynamic midfield three of Scott Brown, Dylan McGeoch, Ryan Christie.
Okay.
And a front three of Forrest, Candeias and Boyd.
There we are. Mine is a 4-4-2 as well. I'm going McLaughlin of Hearts in goals, back four. O'Donnell, Kilmarnock, McKenna, Aberdeen, Berra, Hearts, Tierney, Celtic. Two tight sitters, Brown and John McGinn, although I know he's a wee bit more pushing on. And two wide players, James Forrest and Jordan Jones. And two up front, Moussa Dembele and Chris Boyd. So, and I agree, I thought Paul Hanlon... I thought Candeias. I really wanted to get young Ross McCrory.
He's done great,
in there. I couldn't get him in. Malumbu, I wanted to get in. McGeoch, I wanted to get in. And Hanlon as well's a great shout. But I think the good thing is a number of candidates,
I think so as well, because I think one of the ones I was looking to get him was at Tate at right back as well for Malumbu.
Simon's got him in.
Because I thought he's in. McGeoch, I'm sorry to leave him out of the team. Because I think he's had a great season for Hibs. I think he's a sign when we move on to managers of the year. Well, how do you define a manager? A great manager, and I think you define him by, does he improve a player? And I think McGeoch, Lenny's improved so many Hibs, but I think McGeoch's really come on. The other one I was kind of sorry to leave out was James Forrest, but I just thought Candeias is informing now. I've got a lot of Celtic players on the team. Forrest maybe just shaded. James is just maybe shaded off at the moment. Another one I was looking at as well was Curtis Mayne. I think he's done. He's done really well at Motherwell.
When did he come in, January?
So if you could put Molt and Mayne together, have Curtis Molt or Louis Mayne,
I would have done it.
I like. I've only went on because obviously I play on a Saturday, so I'm going
to. That's not the Peterhead people have been telling me.
I'm on the pitch.
You were meant to give us a League Two team of the year, by the way.
Hooked after 50 minutes on Saturday, I was terrible.
No, I hope you didn't give Jimmy Mack.
No, I was asking to come off, hands were up. But the one I like that I've seen quite a lot is Glenn Kamara at Dundee.
Aye.
Centre midfielder. Aye. Spoke to wee Paul McGowan about him as well, who thinks everyone's hopeless. Mm-hmm. Ask Paul McGowan about any player and he'll tell you he's hopeless. But the boy Kamara, he really likes. Aye. Says he's very good. I think they got him for Arsenal. In the games I've seen him, mm-hmm. seen him at Celtic Park, and I've seen him play against Hearts. I thought he's been really good. And Stephen O'Donnell as well, who I know. I think he's had a great season. It's a good shout as well. But I just like Tate. I think Tate's been great for him.
Yeah, I thought that as well. And I did like your Ryan Christie. And I thought about going 4-2-3-1. But I thought Chris Boyd deserves to be in it. But I didn't want him up on his own. Otherwise, if I was going to play, I'd have put Ryan Christie
off
in,
for a bit as a number 10.
And I really wanted. And do you know what? As much as I mentioned Malumbo at Kilmarnock, I think Alan Power and Gary Dicker are just as deserving as well. I think they've been absolutely brilliant for them.
And I agree with you. The way is, I had to go for two up top because I had to put Boyd in the team. You can't avoid what. I mean, I think Boyd has been brilliant this season for Kilmarnock. But I had to put Dumbelly in, and people say, why are you picking Dumbelly? Because there's a lot of criticism about Dumbelly. But the way I look at Dumbelly is every time he's called to the big games, every time Celtic's got a wee wobble on, or, you know, will they win this game or not, he comes in, this is the business, might only be two or three wee touches, and they win. I'm thinking of League Cup final against Motherwell. Only did about, I think he did about six touches in the match, and everyone was significant. Every Rangers game, bar none, he turns up. And then when Celtic were going to Pittodrie, remember they're coming off, I think it was PSG. And everybody's saying, oh, the league, is there a league race? He scores the first goal, lays on Tierney for the second, good night. So that's why I would have Dembele in it.
I must say, I'll need a good sub striker because I've got Boyd running channels here. He'll be off after about 15 minutes.
Boyd, you will.
That's it. Mind you, be a wee two with Brown and McGeek sitting and Christie in front of them with Boyd up. Christie would be feeding.
So who we, if we just flick through them again, who's the unanimous ones for the three? We've all got Kieran Tierney.
We've all got Tierney, yeah.
We've all got Scott Brown.
Yeah.
Have we all got Chris Boyd?
Have we all got Behra?
No, I've never took Behra. No.
I took Behra.
Aye, but Simon.
And I've gone Jordan. Why none of you matter of interest? Why none of you get Jordan Jones?
Well, I'll tell you why I've not got Behra, because Hearts play with 11 men behind the Bovary, but I don't think he needs to do much defending. I think the whole team.
That's a good point.
You know, I just think Hearts are such a defensive team that he gets a lot of help in there, Behra. Jordan Jones, I've not seen a lot of him, to be fair, and just I hate watching games on that pitch. I know it's a horrible thing to say, but I don't really, when it's at Kilmarnock's pitch, I don't really watch the game because it's usually quite a poor game, I think.
I think Jordan Jones just falls off for me. I've put McGregor wide left, which isn't naturally Cal McGregor's right position, but I just think this season, watching Celtic and watching McGregor, and what McGregor's been through at Celtic, remember a guy went out on loan, when he's coming back, or a guy coming back from Notts County, Brendan Rodgers will come, he'll be out. He was one of the ones, remember we were all drawing up lists in the newspapers, ones to go out the door. I would say Callum McGregor was certainly, if not in that, he's loitering with intent around about it. Suddenly comes on, and he improves season after season. And one of the things he's brilliant at now, the way he's improved, is his finishing.
And goal against Zenit.
Absolutely
wonderful. One of the best of the season.
Munich as well. Was it Munich
yeah, see, brilliant. See, like, a year before that Munich goal, where he's threw goal against Munich, you're saying he's going to score. A year before that, Mönchengladbach, you're saying...
He drags it wide.
And you're saying, that was the difference between Celtic basically going through and not. And I thought, this kid's really good. The goal he scores... two goals he scored against Rangers at Hampden, one passing the ball in for 30 yards, you know, after that Dembele knockback, and the goal the other week there, I say, see if it was Calumny and McGregory, you would be going, that's a continental technique, that kind of stuff, passing it from there. So that's why, but listen, I wouldn't argue,
has Jones scored a lot of goals? Is he just...
Loads of assists, he's lovely, Kandias, he's got more assists, I seen that, that's why I went with Kandias. I really thought about Kandias, I just didn't like his response to being substituted at Hamden again, the big game, that's why I'm not getting Morelles, because you compare him to Dembele. Dembele gets chances against Rangers, bumping in the net, Morelles, two or three chances and it's not there. So
the good thing about all the teams as well, there's quite a lot of Scottish boys in every single one of our teams, isn't there?
But see, the interesting thing about the teams as well, have you got a Rangers player on your team, Mark?
I don't, no.
Have you got one?
Yeah, I've got one.
So it's one of, we've got one each.
Yeah.
Now, see, a man of my age, that's astonishing.
Yeah.
That just shows you what kind of season I had. Mm-hmm. That's astonishing. Because really...
Well, who could you make? Could you make a case this season for Tavernier right back this season? No.
Not defensively. No. I think you can make a slight case for McCrory right up until they get ragdolled here.
Yeah.
But after that...
John, at left back, could possibly make a case... Just not ahead of Tierney, but Tierney's a cut above, isn't he? He's a cut above.
If you're looking for somebody on the bench, if you were looking for a left back on the bench, I think you'd be going towards John. Aye, but you're not
Bobby Windass, good season with Windass.
Windass, yeah, he went on that run, didn't he?
But he's run, another seven, one that's games, but tailed off towards the end of the season, again, the business end of the season.
When you're looking at him to step up, and basically you're talking about the old firm games, there's just not enough of them.
That's what I've been there. I thought that's for the most. Disappointing thing. I always remember the sitting with my cup of tea watching the game at Ibrox. It goes 2-2, a man down. Celtic, a man down. You're going, well, what's going to happen here? And see, the surprising thing, Simon, for I've watched Celtic Rangers games in seven different decades. Right? That's how old I am. For the 1950s, right to the teens.
You're looking
well, mate. Am I? I'm in Barman fluid. I'll have a pint of that at night before you go to your bed. But don't try and open curtains or anything like that night, right? Don't get deleted. But I'm looking at that game and going, who's the Rangers captain? That's the first time in my life I've ever asked myself in a Celtic Rangers game, who the Rangers captain? It would have been almost obvious who the Rangers captain, and it was Tavernier. And I think that's a black spot against them. Another thing at that point, and there's been huge arguments over Kenny Miller and blah blah and Lee Wallace and all this. But at that point, do you think if Miller and Wallace and all that had been on the park, Rangers would have been so almost relaxed about playing the ball instead of getting, let's get urgency and let's get a win.
You talked about Hamden in the Cup semi final.
The 10 men. I think the Cup semi final was just.
I would have Kenny Miller in my team all day long, particularly in games against Celtic. Because, for example, Boyato, if you put him under pressure, will give you a chance every game. And Kenny Miller is right about him, knitting away at him. And he would have unsettled. Boyata and stuff like that, and that's why I thought Rangers got it wrong. You know,
I thought they would have went 2 up. It surprises me that nobody ever goes 2 up against Celtic, because for me the worst part of their team's the two centre halves, and no one ever really puts 2 up against them to really test them.
Watch the Scottish Cup final. What do you think will happen there?
Motherwell
are probably the team that give them the most bother. Putting 2 up against Boyata and a big Aya.
Cup final's going to be a cracker. It's going to be an absolute cracker.
Because they could end up, they'll go for broke, and they could end up getting beat 4-0, right? Because they're going for broke, they're hitting high balls in, and Celtic's quality could do them. But the other thing they could do, they'll be fancy themselves to get a goal, and they will not take a step back. I watched the League Cup final, and I thought Celtic were justifiable winners that day. I thought they were the better team. But my goodness, Motherwell never stopped, even at 2-0. Bolt was hitting the post, the free kicks were going in.
Definitely.
We'll talk about Celtic, weak spot central defence, but I have to say I really like the look, and I like the look of him last year on loan at Kilmarnock, Christopher Ayer. I think he's got a wee bit about him.
I'd had him in the team, except for I watched the game at Hamilton, and he had a mare at Hamilton, and they lost the goal. The guy, it was an easy one, it was just a knock on, and the guy got behind him. Now, can you forgive him, I suppose, on being harsh. What I like about him, I think he's got in his favour, is he's quick. Another thing is he's confident. When Celtic are really good from the back, it's where everybody marks up in midfield, maybe they go on to Brown, who's out ball, he can just bypass
he steps out and
he can run that 20 yards and the team goes, oh no, this is real problems, he's now onto our back four. So he's good. I think Ayer's come on a ton.
I think, as you say, he's great on the ball, but I just think he's still got a mistake in him. Most games I'm expecting him to make a mistake,
but then the way that he's encouraged to play by the manager, you're going to get that.
Of course you are, and that's what the manager wants.
It's just Rose Eddard.
But I think sometimes, though, he makes a mistake in tackling. I noticed one at Hamden where it was Candace,
slid in
wide right, and he went on, and Brendan Rodgers just about spontaneously combusted. You know, guys with fire extinguishers, as Brendan's done, and he's not a manager to do that, but he's saying, come on, you know.
Right, looking at our teams, because we're going to debate the manager here, and I'm looking forward to the debate on that one. So this is very short and sharp and quick and very easy. Pick your player of the year.
Mine's is a easy. Scott Brown back.
Scott Brown.
Mile.
All day long,
every
Scott
big
Brown.
Every big game this year, Scott Brown's been the best player on the pitch.
Okay.
Right. Absolutely. Not even a reflection. And I tell you, coming from me, as you'll know me from a long time back, that is a complete change of mood for me. I
no,
never.
Well, you know, used to be having fun here now.
Absolutely. I, on the other side, a real sceptic, a real questioner of her. I actually would go as far as to say the first season Strachan won the league, he won the league because Brown got suspended and he was forced to play Hartley and Robson in midfield, because then they just went on a wee run. They out-muscled Rangers, Robson, Hartley, out-muscled Rangers in midfield at Celtic Park. They won late. That was a game that more or less won the season. And I thought Brown, not quite a liability, that's too hard, but I thought, nah, it was poor. And in years from that, Simon, I'll be quite honest, I always thought in big games he let Celtic down, especially in Europe. Silly cards, silly fouls, silly sending offs, erratic passing. I never saw any about it. So I was a real.
His passing has got a lot better.
I think everyone's right, better.
Yeah.
And when we move on to manager of the year, I think Scott Brown comes into it funnily enough, because
you're giving him manager of the year.
I'm giving him manager of the year, personality of the year, best supporting film, and a musical. Right? Because we've got to go for this. I think if you're going to change your mind about somebody, just go full hog. Right? But I think he has improved so much as a player, and he's been so central. It's a long-winded answer, which I'm aware of. Sorry. So, it's Scott Brown.
Who's yours,
sorry, I thought you were going to say Christoph Bear. Right, so Scott Brown. It's definitely Scott Brown. Well, I don't think it's been a season where it could be unanimous, because I think there's been a few contenders. I think Scott Brown has been a standout. He absolutely bosses Old Firm games, which for me is your benchmark. However, I don't want to agree with you two guys, so we'll try and throw it open for debate if anybody's bothered, the listeners out there. So I will say Chris Boyd. I'll just say, but I totally get Scott Brown. And if you two had said something different, I'd have probably said Scott Brown, but the fact that you two have said
why do you think Boyd's been so good this year? Manager?
He's just come in, you know. I think it's no secret he was ready to hang up his boots in October. If there was an exit for him, if there was a way out, I think he would have taken it. And,
sorry, big man, I'm only joking.
Listen, you look at it, why are Kilmarnock in the top six? Because I've got a 20 goal striker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, they're not even top six, they're top five. That said, Jordan Jones, Lee Irwin, Eamon Brophy, I've seen Kilmarnock a number of times, they've all played their part. But
Kirk Broadfoot,
you know,
looked upon as a joke. Yeah. That's all. Kirk Broadfoot, football's punchline. But he's been brilliant this season.
Yeah. So I just think for something like that, but the funny thing, who'll know, certainly from the football writer's point of view, neither Chris Boyd nor Scott Brown has ever won our award. I mean, you think, you know, both been at the heart of the Old Firm for a number of years, both well into their 30s now, and I think certainly one of them, I think Brown will probably scoop all the awards, but I think Boyd will push him.
I think Boyd will push him close. We're such good judges as a trade, we know much more about football than you. Like, you just go scuffing your way. You go away scuffing your way for 50 minutes on a Saturday. We're kind of like deep into football, and we're so good as a trade that we didn't give out the award to Kerry Dalglish.
No way.
Never. He never won the players. Never won the
football writers.
The paper
should
have been shut down.
I know. They're trying to do that at the moment. As we speak.
I remember Gary Caldwell won the football writers award. So remember that? I mean, maybe 7-8 years ago under Gordon Strachan when he played for Celtic, and somebody else got the PFA award. Now, for the life of me, I can't remember. It was another Celtic player in the PFA. Award. And I always remember Gary Caldwell came in to get, because you get interviewed, it's not a surprise one night, you get interviewed before it, and you know that it's happening. And he came and he sat down and says, well, he says, I have to now hold my hands up and admit, he says, for the first time ever, he says, football journalists now know more about the game than my fellow players.
Would Boyd go back to Rangers, Jack? Nah. Would there be a move there for Chris Boyd next year, or?
Have you read his columns recently?
Depends
who signed the check. He's just signed a new deal at Killie, I think, hasn't he?
Right, okay.
So there'd need to be a transfer fee. You would never rule him out.
But see, what's happening is we're moving on to manager of the year. It's like Stevie Clark could have been, you could expect him to come in and say, well, listen, I'm not wanting that. I'm not having, you know, a big centre forward or no Ryan Channels. I'm a modern manager. I'm wanting work rate and all this. Instead of that, he's geared the team basically around it. Cause yeah, absolutely. I mean, and see sometimes the way the Kilmarnock play, I mean, it's that Peace and Jones and Brophy, Kilty, all bombing forward. Yeah. And sometimes you find Boydie sort of sitting, kind of coming short and just playing the through ball. Linking, and you're saying, that's really good management. And you're so right about the 20 goals, because you look at any team that goes up the league or down the league, they're all much of muchness. There's a Louis Moult between where Motherwell are now and where they were last season. Yeah. There's a Liam Boyce with where, right, you know, Ross, where County. Ross County are. Absolutely, and where they are. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, it is. Right, manager of the year then. Manager of the year is brilliant now. So I think we could safely say, if we start with Brendan Rodgers, has to be a contender.
Yeah, of course.
Neil Lennon has to be a contender. Steve Clark has to be a contender. Are there any more?
Are we just sticking the premiership?
Well, it's a personal thing, Hugh, but I'm quite willing for open goal to throw it open. But I know Jack Ross, you've been there, and some people say Davy Hawkins. Well,
Davy Hawkins would be my contender.
If you're talking about manager years, with all respect, I think you need to be talking about the guys that are operating at the highest level in the country.
Enough. What about Stephen Robinson, two cup finals?
Stephen Robinson, two cup finals, you want to throw? I mean, I think, throw him in there if you want. I don't know, he's not really a real contender, is he? I think you're talking Clark, Lennon, Rogers, Lennon. And I think, now feel free to shoot me down, I think we might very quickly get to it being a straight shootout between Clark and Lennon. Am I right? Or are we taking Brendan Rodgers with us all the way on this one?
I would take, here's the official line on Brendan Rodgers that I would have, is that there's so many criteria when you pick best manager of the year. And if you go, one of the criteria would be, I would have to say, if you make history. If you make history of the club as big as Celtic, that's decent history, you know, because there's a lot of history made. Yeah. But if you make history in Scottish football, like Walter Smith didn't do it, Martin O'Neill didn't do it, Jock Stein didn't do it, Jock Wallace didn't do it, back-to-back trebles, I think that's a huge thing in his favour. Now, I get the other argument that when Martin O'Neill was doing it, he was up against the stronger Rangers, and, you know, Walter would be up against Strachan. You know, I get that argument. But I think in the history argument, if the history argument was your only criterion, you've got to say, well, it's him. Because this is, he's made history in Scottish football. Mm-hmm. And it'd be perverse not to. But if you're bringing another criterion, it's one I alluded to earlier, which I think is a really good criteria for a manager, just make a team better. Mm-hmm. That's a good sign of a manager. Yeah, what do you think?
A good manager coach is somebody that makes a team better, 100%. Yeah, I agree with you.
But, the one thing that goes against Brendan Rodgers in terms of history, we all need to vote before the Scottish Cup final.
We don't know if he's going to win.
We don't know. So you're based it on.
Yeah, I know.
If Lenny gets Hibs second, he'd get my vote. Has anyone ever came up for the Championship and finished second in the SPL?
Now, did Robbie Nielsen do it with Hearts right away?
Well, that's interesting.
I don't know, I'm not too sure.
I think he might have, because Rangers weren't in the league at that time. No, he didn't.
Aberdeen. And like you say, making players better. I played with Martin Boyle at Dundee, and to think the performances he's put in there for Hibs, I would never have thought. There's no way. How much better he's became playing under Lenny is unbelievable. Same you said, you mentioned Dylan McGeek. Even John McGinn at St Mirren, I played against John McGinn at St Mirren, I never ever thought I'd see the performances he's put in there.
I tell you, Louis Stevenson's kicked on as well, hasn't he?
Hanlon as well, even Hanlon as well.
Louis Stevenson's an interesting one, because he's a guy who's 10 years at Hibs, so you'd think he was like an old dog and you couldn't change him. So maybe Rodgers with Brown to a certain extent, you're saying, how can he change an older player that way?
And the boy McLaren as well came in and managed to do
Kimberry's the class. Kimberry's
very good. And what was the old saying that the Hibs, that you can never say that about Hibs now. I think he's changed their mentality massively. Not just technically, but you go look at Hibs now, and they're going to Celtic games, and you think Hibs believe they can beat Celtic every game they play.
Here's an interesting.
I never thought I'd see that in that Hibs team.
This is the thing I was interested about, and you'll know about this. I haven't actually kicked a ball professionally. Is that, see, sometimes with tactics, it's already coming up with really good tactics against Celtic as well. You've got to be kind of bold. You've got to press. But see, like what Lenny's got. Lenny's just doesn't come up with tactics, but somehow he's got his team buy into it 100%. How crucial is that?
Well, you need to hurry your leather, you. No, it's a fear. There's no doubt about it. Players are scared of them. And I think you need to have that if you're going, if your team's going to play like that, the way they play, fearless. But the fear of the manager, they're scared to let them down because they know if you go in the dressing room, they'll throw you against the wall. Do you know what I mean? That's why the players are on it every week, and that's made such a difference because I think most of them were, knew they were good football players, but they just got by, got away with it. But now they're up for every game.
But see that thing that Lenny said in his post-match quotes, and it was in the Mondays, he said, he says, I had to gamble for it. He says, I left Ambrose on Griffiths all day long, one and one. That shows you what he's about as well, and that'll transmit to the players. Because he said, I'm not interested in Hanichi or even a draw. I'm they're there for the taking if we go for
great
it.
Great mentality, isn't it? Even Ambrose, what a season he's had.
I know.
He was a joke figure as well, wasn't he?
Yeah,
now he's a steady Eddie. Who could say that about F.A. Ambrose?
So we're getting it. I always think, I agree, does he improve a team? Does he improve players? The first thing I always look at as well when when it's been Celtic and Rangers managers all over the years, who I always think, like, you try and look for out with the obvious to create a contender, a rival. And I always think, like, okay, if it's somebody going to, with any credibility, has he beaten Celtic or Rangers this season? And I remember a few times Jim Jeffries was in my thoughts, he's never beaten Celtic, he's never beaten Rangers. I can't, but Neil Lennon's beaten Celtic and Rangers, Stevie Clark beaten Celtic Rangers. So what we're going to do now here in Open Goal, with me, Mark Guidi, and Simon Ferry, and our special guest, Hugh McDonald, we are going to eliminate one of the three.
Right.
So we've got Brendan Rodgers, we've got Steve Clatt, and we've got Neil Lennon. Who are we going to eliminate?
Mine would be Steve Clatt.
Steve Clatt's out the running for you.
Yeah.
Hughie?
I now, having talked for about 3 hours about how good Brendan Rodgers was, and you just throw in a wee grenade. We've got to vote for it before the Scottish Cup final. I'm going on about trebles, Simon. Double trebles and treble trebles and quadruples.
He's done
you,
he's
and he goes, you've got to vote now. So he's absolutely done me. Studs up, so I'll have to get rid of Brendan. Well, because the whole reason Brendan would be in would be the double trebles.
Yeah. Well, it's tough to actually do away with the manager that's top of the league that has taken them further in Europe this season, albeit a couple of heavy hidings in there, but they have lost games, but they're still cruising it, and when it's mattered domestically, they've produced. But I agree, I'm going to agree with you on Brendan Rodgers.
See, I think Steve Clark, alright, what is he, took Kilmarnock to fifth in the league?
Yeah, from bottom.
Is that a, from, but from he was bottom. There at the start of the season? When did he come in?
October.
We hardly finished sixth with a Dundee team with me in it. I mean, is that much more an achievement?
Well, every chance, but there's no retrospective awards here. Listen, if you want to do retrospective, we'll go back and do our dud 11 of the year season 2014-15.
Retrospective drum testing as well, they'll get that out.
Right, so amazingly, we've got rid of Brendan Rodgers. Right, so we're now Steve Clark or Neil Lennon. Honest to goodness, how do you separate the two? Well, I know obviously
I'm going Lennon.
You're going for Steve Clark, so it's easy for you. You're going Neil Lennon. So what I'll do is I'll pick mine and leave a special guest with the casting vote.
Okay. Right.
So you've gone Neil Lennon.
Yep.
So I will.
Would you have went Stevie Clark?
Yeah, I think I would have, but do you know what? Honestly, he could toss a coin, and I mean that sincerely. Neil Lennon has been fabulous to bring them straight up and keep them going. And you're right, guys like Martin Boyle, all the players we've mentioned, gone to Ibrox and won Celtic Park, get a draw, a draw at home to Celtic, beating Celtic, beating Aberdeen. To achieve that in his first season is incredible. And if it is Neil Lennon that gets it, or Brendan, or whoever, I don't have a problem. But we're here to pick a name, so I will go with Steve Clark. And we'll leave the casting vote to the Open Goal Manager of the Year to Hugh McDonald.
Drum roll.
I love to see him sweat.
Well,
take your
shirt off, go on. Hugh, you're free to go to the Dragon's Den style, just go to the back of the wall, have a word with yourself.
I just think that on Saturday about 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, just something happened at the in the 50th minute of the game. Simon Ferry was whipped off by Jim McAnally, so he gets my casting vote as manager. It's taken him a while. Seriously, going back to it, I think I would have no problems with all of them, right? Yeah. Any of them are really good candidates. I'm going to go for Neil Lennon. And here's why I'm going to go for Neil Lennon, because the criteria that we came back to, we dumped history because we couldn't get that into it. We kind of dumped a league position because Simon quite rightly points out if a team finishes sixth with him in it, it just invalidates the whole competition, in fact. It just makes the whole competition a sham that he was in it. The league is a sham. The whole league's a sham. You were in it, right? So that's invalidated argument too. That leaves us with the last argument is, has he improved players? Has he improved the team? Team completely, brilliant point, Simon, about mentality. I'm just thinking about it. The whole mentality, Hibs, if you go to Hibs now, you just know they're not going to lie down. They're going to be at it. Next. Then you go and start going through the players and you go, that was a brilliant shout about Louis Stevenson. Because I remember writing a piece about Louis Stevenson 10 years ago when he was kind of in his first season in a League Cup final against Kilmarnock. And I thought, he has improved this season. He's been great. McGeoch's improved this season. McGinn's improved this season. Hanlon's been great. Boyle's been different class.
McGregor
been top notch. And then you go, and who, right? He gets rid of, has to get rid of a couple of players for reasons and brings in McLaren, who's been smashing for him under the radar. Uh-huh. And Ken Berry's been superb. Imagine bringing in somebody like that. So, that's a long way of saying it. That's my casting vote.
There's eight of the players that used to get the phrase Hibs. Eight of the players who were there before he came in.
And I think, honestly, the only thing is that they missed a trick by not hanging on to Scott Bain. I know why they didn't hang on to Scott Bain, because I always think there's a question mark about their goalie.
Yes.
Yeah, so do I. Is it Marciano?
Yeah, I agree.
Great boxer, but...
Looks like he's got boxing gloves on sometimes, doesn't it?
So, there we are. We've gone for Neil Lennon as the manager of the year. We are 27... minutes into the Open Goal podcast. Regular listeners will know we spent a wee bit more time than usual on our first topic. We've got two to go. We're going to speak about Arsene Wenger. We're going to speak about bottlers as well. We're going to stick with it for another 15 minutes or so. I'm Matt Guidi in the company of Simon Ferry and Hugh McDonald. So let's get to Arsene Wenger. Hughie, 22 years in charge, 1996 he joined. He announced
I was thinking about retirement at the time. That was my first Tuesday at the GPO and the pass for the bus pass. I always remember it. Arsene was signed on the day I was queuing for my bus pass.
Brilliant.
So right decision to go to
absolutely.
Long overdue.
He didn't stand out. This is the classic thing about football. You got all these miss. You get told you're off this season. You walk away into. You should have been away ages ago. There's some great. Sometimes you just lift up a newspaper and you just get some great articles and you just say, "Oh, that's what."
That's why we did try and get me check on that. Resurrected Evening Times call.
But it was Souness was doing two columns in the Sunday Times, and he did a lovely evocative column about playing in a European Cup final against Roma. The anniversary is that's coming up. That was smashing. But the other one, if people can get it on the internet, was his demolition of Arsene Wenger. It just takes a baseball bat.
Give us a couple of bullet points.
Don't even mention him with Fergie.
Right.
Don't even start about being a winner. 10 years of absolute, complete and utter underachievement. Terrible at recruitment over the years and should have gone a long time ago. And just to add a wee bit into it, a strange man as well, because always asked him up for a drink after matches. Mm-hmm. And we'd never come for a drink after a match. He says, really strange. You know, even for a glass of wine or something after a match, never would come. The anti-Arsene factor, and I'll just be brief about it, is of which I am one, is that I reckon he was overinflated because he inherited a great back five and Dennis Bergkamp. That's what he inherited. People forget. I think it was Bergkamp. It was Bruce Lears that signed them.
That's right. Yeah.
So I think if you pick a best team like we were doing earlier on in the premise, a best team in the Arsenal Wenger era, six of them would be players he inherited.
You'd never think that, eh?
Because nobody's going to drop Bergkamp, and with all due respect, Seaman, Dixon, Bold / Kion, Adams, Winterburn. I think you're playing them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think Mertesacker's getting a look in there, is he?
No,
so that's where I think he's fallen down, and I think they were just, people say his budget was cut, but that doesn't explain going to Southampton on a Friday night to go top of the league and losing 3-0. Come on.
So who did I go for? And by the way, just on your points about Souness here, the bullet point, I didn't read his column the Sunday Times yesterday, but just going with what you're saying, that for me is why Souness is the best in the business.
Columnist
on television as a pundit, for me, Souness is the best.
Just a guy you listen to, isn't
he? But see if you did a track line of the best complete pundit, because Souness isn't just a guy who's come and become a great pundit with a background of being a mediocre player. Mm-hmm. Souness is top five.
World class.
Top five Scottish players ever. Mm-hmm. And top five Scottish players ever is a tight. You've got Dave Mackay, you've got Jimmy Johnson, you've got Jim Baxter, you've got Dennis Law, Kenny Dalglish. Souness is in that argument. That's how good
he
is.
And a top manager as well.
And a top manager. Uh-huh. And now he's a pundit. And no fear or favour and that stuff.
Brilliant.
And I mean, with Ferguson, he's just saying, listen, look at what Ferguson won. Look at, don't even start.
And I tell you what, he's a Harry Handsome as well, isn't he? A fine looking man, isn't he?
You got a bit of man love there, man.
I like Graeme Souness a lot. What a time he does
it for me. I think we should move on.
He does it for me, right?
I'm getting comfortable.
In fact, just give Souness the Arsenal talk. Right. Who is his replacement? Luis Enrique, Brendan Rodgers, Diego Simeone, Eddie Howe, Rafa Benitez, I know there's a couple of Joachim Löw, Thomas Tuchel, there's a few being mentioned. Who are we narrowing it down? Is there a shootout on? Or?
I would go Luis Enrique. I think he walks into that, the way they want to play, the style of play. Diego Simeone is similar to Mourinho for me. Win at all costs, defensive, the Arsenal fans want that. Do they want to win or do they want to play nice football?
Do you think though that Arsenal, bearing in mind that they had Wenger for 22 years, I know Bruce Rioch was short stint, George Graham was there for a number of years before him, can you see Hughie Arsenal now becoming a Chelsea and just a turnaround every two or three years? Do you think we want to get somebody, you know, that's here for at least 5 years that's going to put something in place?
I think maybe 5 years, Mark, but I don't think any longer. I think most football clubs now are resigned to the fact the managers will move on pretty quickly. There's a variety of reasons for that. One of the reasons is that the players get used to you, and then you start getting players that you're not picking, and the dressing room gets very turbulent and you can't hang on to it, because top managers now are saying to themselves, it's always the same at Real Madrid, we know that. It was 1 or 2 years. But even top managers now at Man United and Chelsea, they're turning over quickly. I think we're in an era of managers turning over quickly.
As you say that as well, when they're in doing their contract in terms of what they're going to get paid and their bonus and all the rest of it, one of the main things that I look for is an exit plan. What's my exit plan?
Of course. Yep.
What am I getting for going? That's one of the most important things.
But whoever takes his job, what the hell of a job he's got in his hands? Because I watched the top. Hard job. What's Arsenal's objective? To win the league? They've got no matter who comes into that team, they'll not win the league. Guardiola's got Man City miles ahead of them. The top four are miles ahead of them. Spurs, Liverpool, Man United. I think it would take 3 years for Arsenal to
Here's what Wenger's done with them. When he arrived, they were the top team in London, no doubt about that. They're champions elect at times. They're the third best team in London at the moment. The third best team in London at the moment. I don't want to go get that baseball bat again, but come on. Same way, the greeting about Wenger going.
If Fulham came up another place. So, let's bring our tartan stuff in here. Bring the Scottish connection in. Is Brendan Rodgers a serious contender for the Arsenal job?
No, I don't think so. I don't think the Arsenal fans would be happy with Brendan Rodgers. Just the mentality they've got, the Scottish game. And you see guys like Simeone and Luis Enrique that are linked to it. I don't think the Arsenal fans would accept Brendan Rodgers.
Hughie, do you think that as much as Brendan has got a good reputation down south, his work at Swansea, you know, a game away from making Liverpool champions for the first time in 20 odd years, but is the heavy defeat to PSG, you know, losing 11-12 goals, losing, was it four away to Zenit? Are those kind of things, do they go against Brendan purely the fact that the board might think, yeah, he's got a lot of boxes that he ticks, but the fans wouldn't they have it?
I think it does, but I think more crucially what it has is you've got the guys, what happened to Arsenal in the last 6 or 7 months is they threw out the Wenger revolution. They put in their own people. Gazidis put in Mislintat from Borussia Dortmund, mm-hmm. brought in a Spaniard, brought in another German.
Guy for Barcelona.
Well, yeah. So these guys have come in and they've sat down. Now, all this stuff about Arsene decided to walk away. Arsene got bumped, right? And they know they were bumping them mm-hmm. about January, February. So they've sat down and said, we'll leave at the end of the season, we'll tell them this is your last gig. But do you think these guys, these are top, top thinkers in the game, getting paid hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Similar to ourselves.
Similar to ourselves, right? These are guys that last more than 50 minutes, right? So, these are guys who are going to be a full hour at least.
We're still talking about football.
talking back to Chick Young.
But these guys have obviously got a plan. Now, I think... And that one of the reasons I think, and this is just I'm shooting it, the Brendan saying, oh, nice to be, and the way Dermot says, come and get him if you want to, is I think if you are going to be the Arsenal manager, you've been approached by now. Mm-hmm. You know,
Gary Neville said that the other night.
Absolutely, definitely. These guys are real. They're not going to sit about and go around about July. Oh wait a minute, season's next week. We've got a manager here. So that makes me think they'll have a fallback. I think my best guess is that Enrique and Lou would love, whatever you pronounce, the German manager would be at the top, uh-huh. and then they would have fallbacks, and they've got a couple of, because there's Germans there, Allegri maybe at Juventus, but I don't think they like.
They're saying Chelsea his personal, for Allegri.
They don't like his personality, so he's a bit colourful, shall we say. But there's German coaches that are that could interest them. Tedesco at Schalke. And
who's a 30-year-old boy?
Nagelsmann at Hoffenheim. His only problem is he's 30. That's what got him, didn't get him. The Munich job because he was just too young. So if they go for that, but they might think, see, Tuchel, I don't think so, because Mislintat and Tuchel didn't go on, that they fell out of Dortmund, and he's now really in the frame for the PSG job.
Mm-hmm.
But I reckon they're sitting there and going, that's candidate A, we've talked to his agent, he wants to know about this and that, we're just about there. If that doesn't happen, there's B, C and D, and I don't think Brendan's on A, B, C or D.
If it is a British man, is Eddie Howe ahead of Brendan? He seems to have admirers at Arsenal more than Eddie Howe.
No, not for me. No. I think it's far too big a job for Eddie Howe. Done great at Bournemouth, don't get me wrong. Working on a small budget. See, when you've got these big teams and you need to work, you need to then totally changes. You need to sign top players, you need to convince top players to come. Is Eddie Howe going to convince a top player to choose Arsenal over Chelsea? If you're looking at the managers, who you going to play for? Do I want to go and play for Mourinho at Man United or Eddie Howe at Arsenal? No, it'll be horrible, but you're picking Mourinho and Man United every time, aren't you?
And you're also picking where the teams are going. I mean, that's a sixth place team at the moment, Arsenal.
Mm-hmm. Not even Champions League.
I think it's too much.
And that's where if you are looking at, you know, if you've got that seven or eight managers, those superpower managers that are in that bracket,
it's going to be hard.
Then Arsenal's not a superpower club. Arsenal, in terms of Europe, probably isn't in the top 15. Clubs at the moment.
Because
do you think these top managers would take the Arsenal job?
Well, listen, there's Budo, it's a chance to go and rebuild the club. I mean, you say that it's not a great job to get, I get what you're saying, but it's also, in some ways, you can flip that around and say it's not a bad time to get them because you'll be given a year to go and try in two windows.
And we're given
a year's grace, yeah.
There'll be money there. And if you're an Enrique, see, like I would imagine, see if they want Enrique, let's be honest, they've said in February, did their due diligence, all their managers have been dossiers and that. And he'll have said to Nicky, listen, we're not offering you a job. Can we take you for a meal, bloody blood? What do you want? And they'll know what they have. They'll not be going to a manager. These are really intelligent guys. They're going to say, we'll give you a bit of money. Because the manager's going to say, well, precisely how much money? Mm-hmm. Because I'm getting rid of eight here.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be real plans in what they'll give them, who they want to go out. Yeah. But I agree with Arsenal. I mean, see, I mean, if you looked at Arsenal, even the great players at Arsenal are rotten. Ozil. I mean, Ozil's a World Cup winner.
Up, didn't
Who have
you keep? Would you keep Ozil?
You said they're going to spend money, but they're not spending any of their money compared to what Man City are.
Wilshere, Ramsey, you know, boys like that. They're all decent. Peter Cech's good goalie, but you know, you're right. There's nobody in there. You see, there's three or four damn good players in there that we're going to go and build around. They're not. You're pretty much you're starting from scratch, pretty much, aren't you?
And Warriors, we can overestimate this. We know what football's not on now about getting the tackles in and that. We know all that, but you have to have the warrior spirit in your team. See, if you're walking and blowing the bugle at Burnley, Turf Moor for Arsenal. You're looking about, you'd be halfway up the pitch and the rest of them, nobody's following you. You're in the middle of a, battle. So the honours with Simon. Simon gets into trouble at a nightclub. You go, I'll sort it out. And he said, where's Simon?
Oh, he's on the bus. That taxi. He
Da Vinci's. I'm visiting the hospital the next day.
The bus is left for Peter Heed. Simon's on it.
Simon's got a sausage suffer out of Da Vinci's and a pizza for his to wash it down. Right, but we've only got a few minutes to go.
Right,
we're going to speak just very quickly about Bottas Tottenham. They lost to Manchester United there in the FA Cup semi-final. The bottler tag has been aimed at them again. We'll try and keep it brief. Simon, justified?
I don't know if it's bottling. I think more the stuff with Dele Alli doing that daft celebration at 15 minutes after his goal. And even when first half Tottenham battered them on top, but they just never made it count. And I think people didn't underestimate how good Man United are. I mean, I know people slaughter them all the time, but that's twice now against Tottenham, a right good Tottenham team, a right good Man City team. They've been behind at half time or early doors and they've came back and won two big games. I think Man United have got better players than Tottenham. I think that's what it is. Again, they'll spend more money than Tottenham. They've got a great Mourinho's a great manager. Pochettino is, but I think he needs to spend money. I think he needs to spend big money if they're wanting Tottenham to win things.
Move it on. Justified here.
I think it'll be, I think to a certain extent, because I think it'll be asked until you win some. You're always a bottler to, you know, that can be, it's that Hibs that thing. Nobody's going to say to Hibs now, you Hibs that because they've proved that they don't. You've got to see when people at the very, very top level, people ask you really blunt and awkward and rude questions, particularly when you're at the press conference, Mark. But, but they do ask you tough questions. And if you could done so, say, well, there's a medal. If somebody says you, I mean, because nobody's going to say Mourinho is a bottler, because Mourinho just says, well, hold on a minute, if you've got a spare weekend,
see Champions League.
I'll take you around, I'll show you the medals. You know what I mean?
But for me, I always find interesting, and it's been, you know, up here, Aberdeen have been accused of it, Hibs and stuff like that. For me, it depends on your definition.
Aye.
Of bottlers, because as you said, that you hit the nail on the head, it might just be a simple case that Man United have got better players than them. And they should have, because I've got a £300 million budget to spend. Alright, Spurs have got Harry Kane, but sometimes you're just no good enough, but it doesn't make you a bottler.
If they went and got beat for Southampton at the weekend, then fair enough, you're a bottler.
I think it's probably unfair, but I think the question's asked until you win silverware. Everybody will ask it. And people don't ask it of winners for the extreme reason, because you've got the evidence to say, just come on, here it is.
Right, Sam, we'll finish off, and just on the bottlers, in any dressing room you've been in, under any manager, has it ever been used, bottlers, in terms of they're mentally weak to go and get a
DeCanio every week. These are bottlers. They shit their pants, lads. They shit their pants. But see, that he told you that. You went out thinking, these will bottle it. You did believe him. He was a similar to Lenny. You actually hung on his every word. And he knew that. So every week, especially the bigger games, everyone thinks he's a good team, lads. I've watched them. We go at them quick, they'll shit their pants. And we always won big games. We beat Wigan in that. And he calls Wigan, you used to say that about Wigan, they'll shit their pants. They're in the Premier League, we're in fucking League One. But it seemed to work. Just it's psychology, innit?
Any other managers use it?
See about a player. Who's the player with the best mentality you've ever played with? Strongest.
Bruni.
Aye.
Bruni's unbelievable. Honestly, every training session, it's like a World Cup. As I know, it's a pure cliche, but I'm saying that before, when you play against Bruni, you try and get a laugh from him. He just looks right through you.
Aye.
Just so in the zone, which I could never do.
But you were telling me once when we're talking to you about that was the way at Celtic Park, but you were telling me great stories about the winning mentality on the train, good like the likes of Lennon and all that.
They were a different breed, honestly. It would always be a carry on up until 10:30. From 10:30 to 12:00, they were different guys. It was, you'd think, they'll be alright with me because we had a laugh before. And then they'd absolutely slaughter you for an hour and a half. Slaughter you. And then it'd be back to having a laugh again after it. But they were just so intent on winning.
See, on the bottles thing then, so if I flip it round, have you ever been aware of an opposition team labelling one of your team as bottles and think, oh, is that right? Aye, we'll show you today.
Just that, remember I told you that Millwall team, we were standing in the turn off the player fine and they were looking at us and they were like, look at these lads, they're shitting themselves. And we were like, how do they know that we're shitting ourselves? But it worked for them as well because they went out and bullied us for 90 minutes. So it's mad how much the psychology can play a part in it, but That's probably the only time.
Have you ever worked with a psychologist? Have you ever brought in a mind guru for yourself? You ever?
I got one at Celtic. Yeah. See, when I had my ankle on it, my ankle injuries, I was out for 2.5 years. I used to get a psychologist that came up, but after about 2 weeks, he went, "Nah, you're fucked. There's nothing I can do for you."
Brilliant. A great way to end the podcast. And by the way, now, I didn't plan this. This is coincidence, but we're bang on 50 minutes. And that's only about, that's all Simon can last. We've had a great 50 minutes, as usual. We certainly got a better 50 minutes out of Simon than Jimmy Mack managed to get on Saturday there for Peterhead, but it's been a pleasure. I'm Mark Guidi. It's been an absolute pleasure to have Simon Ferry and our special guest Hugh McDonald. Thanks for joining the show. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Oh, love it, pleasure.
Top and I hope you enjoy mulling over our team of the year and our manager of the year. Feel free to send in your comments. Have a good one. We'll speak to you soon. This has been the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Goodbye.